Welcome to another ponderous episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts, Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, our topic is Annihilation, Book 3. And now, the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another annihilating episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hello!
And David.
Hey.
And this week, we are wrapping up our little arc of Marvel's Annihilation. We're reading Book 3. Well, we're not reading it. We have read it, and that's why we're recording now.
Oh, wait. I thought we were reading it to the...
We're going to read it aloud to the mic?
Yeah, that's what we were doing.
You know, I've actually been thinking about starting a podcast where I just email random semi-celebrity people and ask them to read their own Wikipedia page into a microphone. Would you listen to that?
I don't know.
I think it'd be interesting.
It depends how successful you get, because you might get...
If I get, like, fucking nobodies?
Yeah. Or what if they're, like, as they are reading along, they realize that there's errors in there?
That'd be funny, though, because then they could bring it up. Plus, yeah, I can try to get people with, like, silky voices, like John... What's the guy's name? John Delancey, the guy that played Q?
Yeah.
He's got a nice voice. There's a YouTube of him reading The Raven, which
I've heard
is
that.
Awesome. It's fucking sick.
We're totally off topic. This is
I don't care. Because this is our second take. We just went for like 20 minutes, listeners, and then realized that the program crashed, and then we had to start all over. So, just warning you, if this one is a little crazy today, that's why. It's because we already did this, and now we're doing it again.
But we're doing it again because we love you.
Yes, this is all for you.
This one's totally...
Because we love you.
This one's totally better than the first one,
it
too.
It will be. I'm already liking this one better, even though we haven't said anything intellectual yet.
Is that what we're known for?
I don't know.
I hope not.
Are we known at all?
For being intellectual in any way whatsoever?
Yeah.
God, I hope not, because then standards are just really fucking low these days.
Well, it is the internet.
That's true, and we are on that.
Anyways.
So in the first take, the thing that I really... Okay.
You should keep referring back to the first take.
I like Ronan in this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because in... Book 2, when we read, like, Ronan's little 5-issue or 4-issue miniseries thing, it doesn't seem like he's that badass. And we get to see him fight Gamora, but I don't know Gamora, so I don't understand the depth of this. And I don't understand... I'd never seen the other guy. Was the world shaper, the creator?
Yeah, I'd never seen that guy either.
Never seen him. I don't know. I don't care. But in this, I see him fucking march up into the Kree homeworld and be like, motherfuckers, I don't care what you think is going on. I don't care what's going on. I know what it's like to be Kree. You are not being Kree. I'm going to march up in this back to the Kree homeworld and show you what it's like. And I fucking appreciate that.
He was super badass. And he made the Kree badass again. Because for a long time, they're just like ceding all their territory. And they're like, eh.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they come up and they're like, oh, we're going to kick your ass with our houses.
Yes.
And I really liked that.
Yeah. Because that really illustrates how much being a warrior is part of the Kree culture. Like, down to their homes. Their homes are fucking flying starships that will launch up and impale motherfuckers. That's just really fucking cool.
It was also really satisfying when the full page spread where Ronan hits Ravenous in the face with his hammer. And
that was
fucking sick. And he yells, guilty!
That was awesome. Just because you can see... And then, like... Later on, you see half of Ravenous's face, like half of his head, is like cyborgerized.
Yeah,
which is totally worked. But it breaks his hammer though, doesn't it? It looks like it kind of breaks his
hammer. Yeah, a little bit, but he could fix it.
That's fine. He made it the first time, right?
He has it later too.
So what? Okay. The other thing that kind of confused me is the Supreme Intelligence.
That was awesome. I don't know what it was, but it was cool.
It looked cool.
So the Supreme Intelligence is like the ruler of the Kree up until this point.
Okay.
It's like it's basically a big supercomputer.
Nice.
It's like a living supercomputer. Kind of like the Xandarian World Mind.
A living computer?
Except it makes decisions. Yes. Cybernetic.
Cybernetic organism?
No, it's like living flesh over cybernetic endoskeleton. I forget. You're referring to Terminator 2.
Yeah.
It explains what he is.
Yeah, but he looks sick, and I like the idea of it. But so what? So was he like dying the super intelligence? And
seems
then
like they made him retarded or something.
It's like, yeah, seems like he got lobotomized because he has a big scar on his forehead.
Oh yeah,
that's really
and then
sad.
Ronan puts him out of his misery, basically. It's a mercy killing.
Well, Roman puts House Fiera out of their misery, too. Which was awesome by the time we read it.
Yeah.
Because in book two, you like hear Ronan complain about House Fiera and, oh, they're merchants this, merchants that. But you know, sometimes these warrior cultures, they naturally slowly evolve into merchant societies. And that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it doesn't make them evil. Maybe they're not Kree the way, like, maybe they're not my grandfather's Kree, but they're my Kree, you know? That happens. But then we find out, like, not only are they merchants, but they lobotomize the Supreme Intelligence to put themselves in power. And then aside from that, they've sided with fucking Annihilus. Ravenous is just showing up, and all of a sudden there's Annihilation Wave forces mixed in with the Kree. Like, no, that ain't fucking right.
Not acceptable.
It's great, too, like, after going back to the part where Ronan beats him, like, all the Centurions that were on Hala are, like, standing in the background all sad looking.
But I like the way, what does he say to them? And he's like, all right, if you count yourself among the real Kree, then he says, follow me.
He says, if you are Kree, stand down and await orders. If you stand with House Fiero, surrender or die.
Yeah.
And then the next panel is a bunch of Kree soldiers saluting.
Saluting Ronan.
Yeah. And then the next line is, brothers, subdue the traitors. And then it's
Chubby, House Fiero goes,
Chubby Merchants. There's a guy who looks like Ben Franklin, kind of.
Oh my god, he does. The new fat one looks like Ben Franklin. He's got the same hair. He's blue.
He's got a slightly different mustache.
Yeah, and complexion. It's fine.
Oh, man. I like his mustache. It's like an inverse Hitler meets Fu Manchu.
It's just like the ends of the Fu Manchu.
Yeah, it's weird. That's why I want to call it an inverse
Hitler. And look, they even have gingers on the Kree world.
Mm. Oh my god, they do.
Anyways, that's...
So then Ronan ends... See, why couldn't this have been the four-issue mini? This is so much better.
Because then you wouldn't have anything awesome to show at the end about how Ronan kicked everyone's ass.
How about we leave out the four-issue mini? Oh.
Just because then we have the Kree to actually stand up and fight, and who knows, then maybe the resistance doesn't drag on forever. Because those first couple issues just felt so draggy.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it's okay, because then you kind of get the feeling, like, alright, fine, things are kind of dragging on, because it's a long war, it's hard fought, this and that, but it just felt like just bleh. And then sex with Gamora.
Well, you're supposed to, they all feel tired. Nova and Peter Quill and all those guys are tired of the war. And you were tired of reading, so you were sympathetic with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I got that. It was just, it needed to be a little faster paced.
Mm-hmm.
I also wish they had more of Peter Quill, because he was interesting and they didn't say, like, two words about him. He just appeared.
So he becomes really important in Annihilation Conquest and the stuff following.
Yeah, so what happens in Annihilation Conquest after this?
So basically, the Phalanx, do you remember the Phalanx from X-Men?
Uh-huh.
They're like a mechanical, they're like a techno-organic race.
Okay.
They take over Hala. They just invade Hala.
Oh, shit. Well, it makes sense, because there's like a giant power vacuum now, right? There's no Nova Corps, the Skrulls are completely wiped out. Like, there's massive parts of the universe, the cosmos, and Marvel. It's just, nobody's in charge, there's no military force.
Yeah, and so the Phalanx can, like, they're like kind of a computer virus type of thing. So they can, like, take over people's bodies.
Hmm.
And a bunch of people get trapped on Hala. And they have to fight. And then there's people who are outside this planet. And the planet has, like a force field around it.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Or it's around the whole system that Hala's in. And then, so, like, Nova's on the outside. And there's, like, Peter Quill inside. And, like, Ronan's in there. And Gamora's on the planet.
That's pretty cool.
It's shorter than this. And it tied into, so it was like, it had its own title, and then it was Nova. Nova Annihilation Conquest was also one of the books. Okay.
That might be worth reading, because I kind of like Nova, and I'd like to see more of him.
Well, Peter Quill, so Guardians of the Galaxy spins out of Annihilation Conquest. Like, a lot of the characters that are in Annihilation Conquest become members of the Guardians of the Galaxy, like Drax, Gamora, Peter Quill, Rocket Raccoon.
I'm really happy that that's a thing.
Rocket Raccoon, he's awesome.
I've never seen him, but I want
he's
to now.
He's essentially a sentient raccoon. You also get introduced to Cosmo. Cosmo was a Russian space dog who got lost in space Aww. And became the security chief of this space station called Nowhere. That's made out of the head of a celestial.
Oh,
and he
wow.
can speak, and he can't talk, but he has telekinetic powers, so he can talk to you through his mind. And he's Russian, so his dialogue is written with a Russian accent. So instead of saying ING, it says it's INK.
Oh.
Thinking.
Yeah. So it says, yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, I'm down with that.
And so he's like a Labrador Retriever. Aww. Or wait, what kind of dog? He's like golden. Yeah.
Aww.
And he has a spacesuit on and one of those cones that dogs have to wear.
Sounds amazing.
That is awesome.
That's probably so he doesn't chew his space.
So even if I'm blah on Annihilation,
I think Annihilation Conquest is a better comic. It's a better story. It's tighter.
Okay.
So maybe we could read that some other day eventually.
So let's talk about the major events that happen here. So first we get the war, which is kind of starting off in the Resistance. The Resistance is starting to hold its ground. And then out of nowhere, fucking Centurions, who are apparently really badass, but I've never seen them before. I don't recognize any of them. They don't have names.
Well, they're all from the Negative Zone, so you wouldn't know them necessarily.
Okay. But my Negative Zone self would know them.
Yes. Well, it's not a parallel universe.
No?
So there's not necessarily... No, it's not Mirror Mirror Universe. This isn't Star Trek.
Damn. So, they're not people I've ever seen before, but they're Annihilus's major forces.
So they're like the superheroes from the Negative Zone.
But they're all allied with Annihilus.
Because Annihilus is the king of the universe over there, so why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, because if you're not down with Annihilus, then you're like Praxagoras' planet, who gets
right, because, I mean, because she's a criminal, right? We think of her as a heroic character because she's on the side that we believe in.
Yeah, but in the Negative Zone...
But the Negative Zone, she's a criminal. So the superheroes are following... So here we have superheroes of, like, what's Superman's motto? It's truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Centurions follow truth, justice, and the negative way.
That's terrible!
So basically, they're superheroes in the Negative Zone, and because Annihilus is the law...
They hold up the Annihilus way.
Right.
Annihilus is the... What did they say? Annihilus
He's
is
the will truth, and the way.
The will and the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Tao.
So, when they come over here, they realize that Annihilus is... Well, that's later. But for now, they're fighting on his side. And they attack the Resistance. And basically, the Resistance loses because at that point, they realize that Annihilus has captured Galactus. And Thanos has weaponized him.
Yeah. Which is the other fucked up thing that happens. Like, right after the Sturians show up, then you find out what happens with Galactus. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that they do that. I like the way that they let Nova... have it sink in with you. Like, he says it twice. They've weaponized Galactus. Oh, fuck.
Because he's like the Death Star, but he doesn't just blow up the planet. He sucks the planet's energies out.
Yeah. Straight up sucks it dry. It's like the Death Star, but more necrotic.
More deathy.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go ahead and say that everything in this comic involving Galactus was freaking awesome.
Yeah. I think the most memorable panel I have is when Galactus wakes up and tells Silver Surfer to go forth and herald my rage.
Mm-hmm.
That's sick. Because you see this giant explosion of Galactus feeding, and then just steps ahead of it is Silver Surfer. Oh, fuck. I mean, he ends up blowing up mostly, I guess, Annihilation Wave forces, which is good. Maybe there was stuff that got left behind there, but who knows? Mostly Annihilation Wave.
Although, the ending, I don't know how I feel about Nova actually taking out Annihilus, because it felt really disjointed. Because first, Galactus comes in, and he's like, oh, I'm angry, and then he's like, peace, guys. And then, you know, Nova comes in, and they have a fist fight, and it's like...
Which isn't too different from the fist fight that they had before.
Yeah.
But it is, though. Because when Nova first attacked Annihilus with Quasar, he had no idea how to use the power of the world mind.
Yeah.
And since then, he's developed a rapport with the world mind, and he was trained how to keep his emotions in check by Drax.
Best training ever.
Yeah. If you mess this up, I'll kill you.
Best ever.
Yeah. Not only that, he also gets help from Philavel.
Yeah.
So he's not really on all his own.
It is kind of... I do understand how it kind of can be dissatisfying. Because we don't get the full discourse of dissatisfaction. Right? I mean, if Galactus would have been the one that had done it. Right? And taken out all of the Annihilation Wave. And Silver Surfer and Galactus had come up and taken out Annihilus themselves. Then you would have gotten this whole thing. You could have gone into this whole thing with Nova. Like, oh my god, I'm so powerful with the world mind. But still, compared to these galactic... universal sized forces, I'm really still just an ant. Like, yes, this giant war that we had is this big deal, but in the face of things like death and eternity and Galactus, really it'll all come out okay in the end, right? These things do balance themselves. But we don't get that discourse. Neither do we get the one of the world mind sort of coming up and doing it all on his own. You know, we don't get, like, Galactus, say, taking out some of the Annihilation Wave, but maybe, like, 20% instead of almost all of it. And then just sort of running off and being a distraction and having Nova go in there and doing most of the fighting himself. You know, we don't get the war. We don't get to see Earth banding together. We don't get any of that triumphantness out of it. We get a little bit, but it doesn't feel as much because Galactus has already done, what is it, like 85% of the fighting, I think, by the time that Galactus is done raging.
I feel like it's really problematic, too, in that Galactus is basically the enemy of living things. Like, he serves a purpose, he's useful, but still, you don't want to die.
Yeah.
Right? He's like your natural predator.
But he's not malicious, right?
Yeah,
he's eating.
It's like a bear, you know? If it kills you and eats you, you can't really blame it.
Right, exactly.
But you still don't want to get killed and eaten.
Yeah, exactly.
But Annihilus isn't trying to... do anything except serve his own ends, which is not... I mean, he just wants to kill all life, basically, except himself.
It's the way it's written in that, in theory, like, Nova and Galactus should be opposing forces. And we see this opposition come together to work towards the same goal, but it's so disjointed in the writing that it feels random and fairly meaningless that they both did this thing. And I mean, I'm not saying you have to have, like, a big moral about how Galactus can work with the little ant people, but it just felt like they were two completely unrelated incidents. And
well,
that's a
problem. I think that's fine.
Yeah, and I think that is exactly how it is, because Galactus has no idea that Nova's out there trying to help.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever have any interaction, aside from the fact that they are both fighting the Annihilation Wave.
Which is why I wish that Nova was not even there, because Galactus could have taken care of it himself, and it would have felt like a more complete idea.
I think Galactus wouldn't have cared about the war at all. Because either way, Galactus is still going to have planets to feed on. And Galactus is fine, because Galactus can still move the way he is. The problem is Annihilus picks a fight. Annihilus goes out and frees Aegis and Tenebris and says, I want to fuck this guy up.
But see, even then, when they're freed from the kiln, Galactus doesn't say, oh man, this asshole Annihilus freed these guys. He's like, well, we got to go contain those two.
Yeah, because he still recognizes now that they're free, they're the bigger threat than Annihilus. They're the bigger threat, and they're the ones that I locked away so fucking long ago, and I still need to have them locked away. That still has to happen now.
He doesn't get mad at Annihilus until Annihilus takes it upon himself to capture Galactus, and then Galactus is like, you motherfucker.
You got a shitload of hubris, son, and I'm going to mess you the fuck up. But then, he doesn't go straight after Annihilus.
But
he just says, this Annihilation Wave is what did it to me. I'm going to
just
all of them.
I think maybe Galactus knocks Annihilus down enough that he doesn't feel him to be a threat anymore.
Yeah.
Because he's just one person, bug, monster guy now. He doesn't have his army or, you know, this forces that can capture Galactus again. Thanos is dead.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be able to weaponize him again.
Yeah. Annihilus isn't smart enough to do it on his own. Because after all of this... I was so hoping that in book 3 we would get a vision of Annihilus being awesome and going off and doing something awesome.
But he isn't awesome.
But we don't get that. Like, because in book 2, Jen was saying, oh, Annihilus is just a big baby, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he is. But maybe it's just because we haven't had a chance. Maybe just hasn't his Annihilation Wave or Annihilus himself hasn't been challenged enough to see him step up and be a badass. And the most badass thing we ever see him do is take out his own fleet.
Yeah.
So he's still, at the end of this, is just a giant baby. And we see that in his interactions with Thanos. Like, Thanos is the one who's smart enough to do all this with Galactus. And Thanos was the one who was smart enough to release Aegis and Tenebris. Like, that was all Thanos. And then, in the end, when it's all done, Annihilus can only say, "But I want it now! I don't care about Galactus and the shunt. Get him killed now! I don't care! I want it now, now, now!" And it's like, oh, shut up! You're so fucking annoying, giant bug monster!
You know, it's kind of weird, too, because this was... I mean, we've encountered Thanos before, but I think this is my most involved reading of him. And he was awesome in this, the way that he was playing people and then got played.
Yeah.
And then was like, nope, I'm gonna fix this. But, like, this is also my first encounter with the Negative Zone. And I feel like if Annihilus is their king, they've gotta be really lame. Like, it's just a zone of lame people.
Well, I mean, I get the sense that Annihilus is really powerful. Like, powerful enough to challenge Thanos mano a mano.
The thing is, it's like we see that he's powerful.
Bug of Titan. Mm.
Like, we know he has power. We know he has followers and an army and all sorts of weapons. And he captured Galactus, which is a pretty big deal. But at the same time, compared to Thanos, it feels really weak. Like, he's weak.
Because I think he did the smart thing, and he built up an army of followers that don't have a mind on their own. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why he seems weak, because Annihilus never had to have any qualities of leadership. They're not required for his army or his people at all. At no part does he have to be a good leader.
But
Annihilus is the will in the way.
It makes you worry about, like, the people who live in the Negative Zone if no one can stand up to, like, this whiny bug baby. Like, I feel like Thanos had a good chance if he wasn't being played. Like, if he had figured that out a little sooner, he would have had a really good chance. Or even if Drax hadn't come in and killed him, which, oh my god, good
yeah.
scene.
We need to talk about that.
Like, I feel like Thanos could have put things right and just bitch-slapped Galactus. Not Galactus.
Annihilus.
Annihilus, yeah.
And Thanos even does the right thing. He's like, look, these bugs don't know what psychics are. I'm going to get me a psychic, and I'm going to listen to the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't have any defense against this. I want to know if I'm getting played. Let's do this. I'm getting played? Fuck you guys. I'm letting them the hell go in the middle of your annihilation wave. Like, that's Thanos covering his back. He just did it a couple steps too late.
Yeah.
Because fucking Drax got there and murdered the shit out of him.
I guess he didn't really know Drax was hunting him either, so... I mean, he can't really be blamed.
Well, I don't know. Didn't he bring up Drax? Or maybe it's Drax said, like, we're so tied that we can feel each other. But maybe that's just Drax perceiving it both ways, when maybe it's only one way.
I feel like Thanos was preoccupied with more important things.
Yeah, Thanos definitely knew Drax was there. He didn't really sneak up on him.
Yeah.
And even when Drax is, like, right up in his grill, he's like, we can settle this later.
Yeah.
I really like how he prioritized saving the galaxy from Galactus above, like, his own well-being, just for a moment, even though he's, like, normally a really horrible villain. That was... I feel like they gave him a lot of depth.
I feel like Thanos isn't really, like... What makes him such a great villain is that he's not like other villains, and that he's not really trying to, like... conquer things or get revenge. He's like, I'm interested in this thing, so I'm gonna go do it. And it turns out to be things that most people don't like.
Well, I think what makes him interesting is that he's not killing as many people as he can out of any sort of malicious intent. He's doing it out of love.
Well, yeah, I mean, he loves
he loves Mistress Death,
yeah.
So he wants to kill everything.
That's fair.
It's a really fucked up way of going about it, but you know. It gives him complexity. And I do like the way that he tells Drax, I'll get to you later. Because my revenge on this motherfucker who played me. Nobody plays Thanos. I'm going to get revenge on this guy, even if it's the death of me. Fuck this guy. Nobody does this to Thanos. I think it might have been part of that, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I kind of really wish they had resolved the whole Drax Moondragon thing a bit more, because I feel like, you know, she comes in and she's like, what the fuck did you just do to Thanos? And she's like, you just killed us all, guy. And he's kind of like, I did what I was built to do. And then I feel like they kind of left it at that. I mean, there was a fight at the end, but...
Eh. Yeah, I mean, Drax ignores his daughter after for so long obsessing about his daughter. Even though he says, I don't even know if I'd recognize my daughter, but there's his daughter saying, hey, I'm your daughter.
Well, I don't think he really... He's like a machine, right? Not a literal machine, but...
Yeah, he's bioengineered.
He's like... Thanos is right there. His purpose, his sole purpose for being is right there.
Yeah. And vulnerable. Preoccupied. Not paying attention to you.
He can't do anything but kill Thanos.
But I mean, after Thanos, like, they could have... I don't know, it just... Some of it feels like... I know they're not really loose ends, but it doesn't feel like a complete narrative in places.
It feels like they're just missing one or two lines. You know, yeah. Like... Drax says, I did what I was programmed to do. The second line, I had no other choice. Or it just felt as an imperative. Like, say something other than... But I mean, that's also Drax's character. Drax isn't going to say any more words than he feels he has to.
Yeah.
Even to Cammy, right? Who he keeps around as sort of a weird pet. Which, thankfully, he gets rid of. Like, he still never says anything more than he has to. And so for him, all he has to say is... This is what I was programmed to do. He doesn't feel he has to say, it was an imperative, I had no other choice. It was just so strong of an urge, we were so drawn. This is what I was... Like, he doesn't have to explain himself to Moondragon.
Yeah.
But we want to hear that.
It would be so much more satisfying if we could hear it, I think.
Or even if we could have Moondragon search into Drax's mind and say it. You know? Even if Drax doesn't have to be the one who says it. If we can have Moondragon tell us through, you know? If we could find that out somehow.
Yeah. Agreed.
So did we like Thanos' death? Was that enjoyable to read?
That was...
really satisfying to read?
It was surprising. I didn't expect it to be so quick.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be, like, this long, drawn-out fight, and there'd be lots of punches.
With fucking Galactus stomping around in the background.
Yeah, like, it was like playing Super Smash Brothers or something, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it was just brutal, and I actually enjoyed that because it threw me off.
Yeah, Drax just punched through his chest and grabbed his heart on the way out the other side.
Thanos, you got a force field? I'm going to claw my way through it, and then I'm going to grab your heart.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Wait, that's probably not the noise we make when we do that. Zoidberg.
But then Drax does do the right thing. Like, he gets out of... He sort of... when he sees Thanos, a switch is flipped, right? The machine turns on. Gotta kill Thanos, gotta kill Thanos, gotta kill Thanos, gotta kill Thanos. Nothing else is getting through to him. Gotta kill Thanos. Thanos is dead. Okay, wait a couple beats. Switch comes back off just to make sure Thanos is actually dead. And then, oh fuck, what is my daughter telling me? Oh fuck, let me go grab the surfer.
Well, he's not really going, oh fuck, oh fuck. No, he's like, okay, let's handle this. Let's solve this problem. And then he just gets Silver Surfer to do it.
Man, Silver Surfer was like the ultimate badass in every appearance in this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about him. I love him.
I'm a little sad we didn't get to see Melty Surfboard again.
Well, I'm down with Sim.
Because that every time I saw him on this, I remembered that panel with the Melty Surfboard and knowing that he was badass.
I really like how they included. I mean, I said this last time. They included his like personal, internal, emo, but then he's just like, nope, it's Galactus time.
Yeah, he's willing to shut all of that off.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's serving a higher purpose. And I like the way that through this, we've seen him come around to it. Like, the reason he left with Galactus was because he couldn't handle the death. But now he sees the Annihilation Wave and realizes that the death is a different reason. And it has purpose and has meaning in a greater galactic sense. And so he's like, Galactus isn't evil. All the reasons I left him long ago maybe aren't necessarily true in the face of something that does essentially the same thing, but is... malicious and nefarious. And I think when he owns up to that, that's when he realizes his power again. Not only does Galactus give him the power of the Herald again, but I think he realizes it in himself.
Yeah, he's just like, he's part of the cosmic food chain, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Did we want to talk about Heralds of Galactus?
The little four things at the end?
Yeah, we should mention it.
Yeah. That's so, a little tacked on.
Well, I think it was trying to tie up loose ends, right?
Yeah, and there are loose ends. You know, like at the end of this, Terax is off somewhere, Stardust. I think Nova says, you know, Terax and Stardust and Fire Lord are all MIA or presumed KIA, and Silver Surfer's out the Herald again. And that's also pretty fucked because Galactus seems to be hungrier than ever, which is shitty.
So, I think if you read this on Marvel Online, you may not have actually gotten two of the issues, right?
Yeah, I read it on Marvel Digital, and I only got Terax and Silver Surfer. I didn't get Stardust and Fire Lord.
I feel like Fire Lord basically, he goes and hunts the Centurions, and he's like, I'm so angry at Centurions, and yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Stardust is worth talking about, though, and maybe, did we want to sum that up, David?
Yeah, look, come in.
So basically, I guess Stardust is an ethereal, and there aren't that many left.
He's like not a corporeal being. He's like a being of energy.
Okay.
And it turns out that, I guess the Annihilation Wave destroyed his entire civilization, except for 56 of them that came together and were fleeing. And he meets them in space, and he takes them into himself to, like, preserve them. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go say hi to Galactus. And Galactus is like, fuck off, I got the Surfer now. And then Galactus, you know, because of his ordeal with Annihilus, needs to feed. And Stardust says, I can find you a planet. And Galactus is like, no, Silver Surfer's on it. So Stardust says, I got these guys. And he gives Galactus the last remaining beings of his entire species.
Oh, shit.
Other than himself,
yeah. And Galactus feeds on them and was like, well, no one else has ever sacrificed their entire species for me. so I think it's time I have two heralds. And
that's pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah, I felt like it was a really good contrast to Silver Surfer, though. Because the Surfer's like, you know, do I want to commit these heinous acts for Galactus? And Stardust is faced with the same question. But I feel the way he answers is slightly different from Galactus, because he's just like, he's resolved to serve Galactus.
And it makes sense, too, because when we first see Stardust, right, when he shows up with the other heralds, and they all kind of get together when the Annihilation Wave first busts through, and we see them all interacting, Stardust is by far the most, like, Galactus is the motherfucking shit, and this is what Galactus wants, so this is what we're all doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, we can't know the will of Galactus, but Galactus says do this, so Galactus, Galactus, Galactus. Like, that was Stardust's dialogue.
And we kind of, at first, I think, feel like, oh, well, he's the current herald, so he's kind of like, he's
drinking
green.
The Kool-Aid.
He's drinking the Kool-Aid, and I feel like he's learning the ropes. Like, he seems kind of like a kid, almost, compared to the heralds.
Yeah, but then we see Surfer come through, and we see the contrast, that even when Surfer becomes the herald again, he still has that internal conflict that apparently Stardust never got rid of. God, that's fucking brutal.
Yeah, I really liked that one. Did you have anything to say about the Fire Lord one? I actually was kind of like, meh, about it.
I thought it wasn't that interesting. I mean, it's kind of cool that he's out there. He's like the renegade. Because he's operating inside the ceded territory. So the area is controlled by Ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
He's flying around there killing Ravenous's people, basically. Because they're war criminals. And then he meets up with some other Centurions that surrender to him. And they say, you know, we realize Annihilus was wrong. Let us help you. And Fire Lord eventually says, okay, but if you fuck up, I'm going to kill you, too. And that's basically the whole thing.
Do we want to talk about Terax the Tamer?
That was pretty lame.
Yeah.
The dialogue in that, I feel, was written by an 8-year-old boy. And, like, I can hear boy reading it in my head, too.
It's Terax and Pybok, right? Mm-hmm. Taking on the what would they call it? The Cosmic Parasite or something?
Yeah, Cyclops.
Yeah, some yellow Cyclops thing that feeds on life force. So the more you fight him, the stronger he gets, kind of a thing. But then in the end, he's just sort of laid low by an axe.
Well, Kara cuts him in half.
Yeah. Although, okay, that bothered me because he's like, oh, he absorbs energy. I can just turn off the energy to my axe. Well, what about, like, kinetic energy? Right, like physics? What yeah. happened there? Maybe if they had said something, like, I don't know. I would have even taken, like, I'll use some bullshit negative zone power that I stole from somebody, like, randomly without ever telling the reader. But...
Yeah, but then, like, you get the sense, like, if an axe going through him would have worked, then what's with all the primitives? Couldn't they have just had fucking spears and shit?
Yeah.
What?
And then Terex destroys the planet.
He's a dick.
Yeah. There's all these people on there. Like, oh, if you'd rather be slaves, you might as well be dead. That's my opinion, so I'm going to kill you.
Yep.
Just raise an army, buddy. If you really want to be a tamer, tame people. Don't murder the fuck out of them. Tame the local populace, turn them into an army, and go wage war somewhere. At least that's more interesting.
See, this is, I think, the thing, too, about suspension of disbelief in comics. Like, if it's stuff that people don't know that well, like faster than light travel or magic, like, it's a lot easier to just say, like, oh, whatever, and accept it. You know, Galactus as a weapon. We don't know. Sure, why not?
Yeah, whatever.
But I know a fucking axe hitting something has energy.
Yes, that is basic physics.
Yeah. Also, I don't understand Pybok, like, when we first see him in the first, like, in Annihilation Prologue, he's just a shape-shifting Skrull.
Yeah,
he's manipulative, like any other Skrull. But suddenly now he's using, like, ice barriers and elemental shit, and I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, so maybe he had some story going on before Annihilation that I didn't know about? I don't know.
I guess. I mean...
Yeah, he's not a new character in the Drax comics. That we, you know.
Okay, so he is pre-established.
I just feel like...
I don't know his background, though.
So then we also have the Silver Surfer, Heralds of Galactus.
I like that one a lot.
Yes, I like that one because we finally get some background about the cosmic stuff that, like, the beginning of the universe kind of things that established the Marvel Cosmos.
And we get, and it wraps up the Aegis and Tenebris storyline, and it wraps it up well. It's not like, oh yeah... These things are here, so let's sweep them away under the rug.
Yeah.
There's actually, like, some
and you see,
resolution.
Yeah, and you see Silver Surfer, like, almost dying. And mm-hmm. you see Galactus going, wow.
I feel like...
Damn, son.
We really resolved Silver Surfer here. Like, we feel like the doubt is removed. You know, he still has his personal convictions, which makes him a really good character, but at the same time, he's not, like... I don't know about this Galactus. And I really appreciated that they did that and made a point of kind of showing his loyalty.
Yeah, the other reason I like this one, finally found out what the fuck Skreet was.
Oh, the Chaos Mite?
The little, Chaos pixie thing that was on Thanos' shoulder, finally found out what the fuck that was.
I mean, they kind of mentioned it before, but this was the first place where they really actually told us.
I like the art in this one, too. It's very colorful.
Yeah, it's colorful in a classic comic book kind of way. Yeah. Like, that page that you have it open to with Galactus in the background and Silver Surfer zooming up in the foreground. It's very classic sort of comic book lines. I mean, the surfboards, there's no complexity. It's just very clean. This is the image that we want you to have.
You know what's actually kind of interesting? You know how in older comic books people didn't really use contractions? They spoke very, like... And I am the mighty Hercules, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it was very filled with pomp, basically. Galactus speaks like that, but I think he's one of the very few comic book characters who can pull it off in this day and age. Like when he says, I am the mighty Galactus, and I shall restore power to my herald, for he will not die this day. Like, he and Thor are, like, the two guys who can talk like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Hercules is a little weird doing
but
it.
But it feels very natural when Galactus talks like that, and... I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, he's so beyond the way we act.
So you're allowed to be pompous if you're a native force of the universe?
Yeah, if you're Galactus, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, it's like Galactus is communicating, and he's so old and essential that maybe we're just... This is how humans perceive what he's communicating.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's kind of cool.
He even says inconceivable.
But he knows what that word means. It is what he thinks it means.
Yay, Princess Bride.
Best movie.
So, we want to do it?
Do what?
We want to rate it?
I'm ready.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to rate all three, the whole Annihilation thing, all as a whole.
Andy, you go first.
Oh, fuck balls. I wasn't expecting that. 3.5. That's my immediate response. Because some of this stuff was really good, and I feel like the Silver Surfer parts were awesome. I really liked that. And a lot of the stuff with Nova and the World Mine, that was cool to see too. Right? And then, but then, like, there's so much random shit that comes up that maybe isn't necessary. That I feel like might have been there to fill pages. Like, the Ronin miniseries was kind of weird. And your turn to the Nova Corps files with Blastar. Right? Like, that whole interaction seemed kind of unnecessary.
See, so...
There's a bunch of shit that I feels like it was just there to fill a couple pages. Because we're going to put out this comic, and we're going to do 6 issues of Annihilation, and each comic is going to be 28 pages plus ads. Alright, we got about 24 pages worth of story. Let's have them do a side trip to Blastar because they need some thing from behind the enemy lines. Bullshit. Okay, there we go. 28 pages. Alright, done.
Man, some of these pictures of Blastar in the Nova Corps files are great.
The old ones?
The old ones are amazing.
Oh, man.
Jesus. He's just like a gray person with a lion's mane.
Yep.
I feel like that would make a really good Halloween costume for, like, a little kid.
Yeah, and some of the storylines are really good. I really like Thor and Drax and how they had this whole dance.
Who was Thor?
Huh? Not Thor, sorry, Thanos. Thanos and Drax, they had this whole dance that lasted the entire series, and that was kind of cool to see because the first thing we see is Drax. You know? When this whole thing starts off, it starts off with Drax number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally see it build up to that. And that whole dance is kind of cool. And I like seeing Nova grow into a whole person and finally kill the guy he couldn't kill before to save the universe. So a lot of the storylines, a lot of the big epic stuff, storyboarded, is awesome. But there's just so much that feels like filler.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many instances of mediocre art. There's some really good art, you know? Like the Silver Surfer part, it was really good classic comic book art. But then, like, the prelude with the Nova Corps stuff?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that art.
Yeah.
And then that I think that artist came up again later. And, like, there's just some times where it's just not good art. I mean, it's not horrible. It's not ugly, like we've seen some places. You know, it's not Rob Liefeld. But it's not good art either. It's just kind of, okay. So, as much as there's some stuff in here I really liked with Silver Surfer owning up to who he is and the whole dance with Drax and Thanos, then Annihilus just feels underwhelming compared to Thanos. Like, there's just too much wrong with it for everything that's right. But it was still a good comic, so I'm still going to give it a 3.5. Just maybe too much filler. David?
I'm going to agree with you and give it a 3.5 as well.
Oh, shit.
This is, I think, probably my fourth read-through of this series. I agree. I'm giving it 3.5 because there's a lot of ups and downs. Just like you said, there's really high points and there's not so low points as a standalone thing. The thing is, though, like, now that I've read this and I've read all the Guardians of the Galaxy series, which is now over, which makes me sad, I think the whole idea behind this was to let's bring all these cosmic characters together, introduce them to people, have them solve a problem. And now, all these comics that are going to spin out of it will be the aftermath.
Yeah, and it brings up all these characters who were around before, but now they're back in the forefront.
Because, like, I don't really... Like, I started reading comics in the 90s, and if I try to think back of, like, what were the cosmic characters that I remember reading about? Well, there was the Shi'ar.
Yeah.
In their interaction with the X-Men. And that's really about it. I mean, I knew about who Galactus was, and I knew who Silver Surfer was. Nova was not really... He operated on Earth most of the time because he was part of the New Warriors.
Yeah.
And so I think, as far as I can remember, I could be totally wrong, I think this was Marvel's way of bringing back their cosmic characters and making them relevant again. And it's like, hey, we're going to have this event, and then from this we're going to have these comics. And so there was a Nova series, and there was Guardians of the Galaxy that eventually came out.
And so maybe part of the ups and downs, this is something else we didn't talk about at all, maybe part of the up and down is that there's good creative stuff in here, and then there's also a lot of editorial direction, mm-hmm. right? Because this is Marvel's surge to do something with their entire comic book line. At the end of the day, this can be creative and awesome for all the creative things for it, but it has to come to a specific purpose at the end, too.
Yeah, so I think that as a standalone storyline, Annihilation is 3.5. If you liked what you see and you want some resolution on some characters like Blastar, we were just giggling at his how ridiculous he looks. But he matters going forward. He comes up again.
Okay.
Read Annihilation Conquest and then read Guardians of the Galaxy. And Nova. Go read lots of comics.
Okay.
It's good advice.
I'm down for that. Yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to read lots of comics.
Yeah, what's your rating?
See, now I'm worried because I was thinking 3.5 too.
That's okay.
We're allowed to have the same.
We can all agree. We can all agree.
Copier here.
It's fine.
Okay, so.
You can give it a 4.
We can be in agreement.
I'm going to give it a 4. But it doesn't deserve something as low as a 3. Not that a 3 is low. Yeah. But it's like above average. It was enjoyable. And the thing is, I am recommending this to my friends who I know really like Marvel. I'm not going up to anyone who doesn't read comics regularly and saying, like, you need to read this, and putting it in their hands, like I have done with other things. It was interesting, and I thought they did a really good job of taking characters who are kind of traditionally tacky, like Super Skrull, and giving them a lot of personality, a lot of depth.
That Super Skrull series was really
good. That was good. I really enjoyed the interactions between, like, Thanos and Drax, and Thanos and Annihilus. Well, not the Annihilus half of that, but, like, Thanos was really good in this. And I felt like they gave him depth past being the big bad in the Marvel Universe. He was a really good character who was doing things for maybe reasons he obviously thought were good, but he wasn't... He doesn't feel malicious because of who he's serving.
Yeah.
And I feel like that acts as a really strong foil to the Heralds of Galactus, because they're in the same boat. You know, like, maybe the Fantastic Four think Galactus is a little, like, sketch because he's about to eat their planet. But
in the cosmic scene of things.
Yeah, he's there for cosmic consonants. Right?
Yeah, that's the word they use.
And I can respect that he is there to serve a purpose, and the people who work for him serve a very specific purpose. And it feels like, I mean, it feels like Thanos is almost doing the same thing in serving death. I know he's not, like, part of the power cosmic, he's not on such a big scale as Galactus, but I feel like the series shed light on some characters in a really good way. On the other hand, some of the, like, the writing was so bumpy. It was so good in some parts and, like, really bad in others.
Well, it's because there were so many different writers.
Yeah, and I feel like
different sections of this.
You know, even a writer, maybe the writers that we see here who aren't that strong, in my opinion, would have done great if they had their own run on something. And it's a matter of, like, you know, getting your different voices to integrate and work in the same way, which is admittedly really difficult, especially on a time schedule. Some of the art was kind of, like you said, the prologue for Nova.
Yeah. Back in book 1.
Like, when we see the aliens, it's pretty bad. It was not pleasant, put it that way. So, it's not perfect, and it's not excellent. But it is definitely above average, and I think if you're a Marvel reader, there is a lot of value in taking a look at this.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun to read. And I'm glad I read it, because now whenever I read Marvel stuff and they mention the Kree or the Skrulls or they mention this guy or that guy from outer space, I get the feeling I'll know who it is. I'll have some idea of their level in the cosmic scheme of things, you know. I know what Regellians look like now, even though I wish I didn't. You know? After reading this, I have a much better grasp on the Marvel cosmos than I did before. All right. We good? We read Annihilation. That's awesome. So, next series we're going to do, we're going to go back, because we really liked Hellboy when we did our intro to Indie. Hellboy was awesome. I'm a big fan of Mike Mignola and his art. So we're going to read some BPRD stuff.
Yeah!
So we're going to start off week one by reading BPRD, Plague of Frogs. It's actually a mini-series. It's 5 issues. It's BPRD, Plague of Frogs. It's collected in volume 3 of BPRD.
If you want to buy, the trade paperback.
Yeah, like BPRD trade paperback volume 3. There's also a big hardcover.
Omnibus
called BPRD, Plague of Frogs, volume 1. That's like 408 pages. It's collected in either one of those, or you can go out and find the individual issues too. And as always, we'll put a link to that on the website with all the information you're going to need to find that sort of stuff.
And if you're at all confused, it's the story with the frogs.
Yes. And then after that, we're going to read Abe Sapien, The Devil Does Not Jest in Other Stories. I think it's just like a collection of stories about Abe Sapien. And then we're going to wrap it up with Lobster Johnson.
Yes.
Iron Prometheus. I don't know anything about Lobster Johnson, but I think it's a fucking badass name.
I don't know anything, but I'm so excited to
It's
read
a cool
it.
Name, and whenever I've seen art of him, he looks cool. He just seems like he'd be cool.
I'm so excited to read this entire arc.
Yeah, I'm excited because BPRD stuff has been getting really good reviews, and I haven't read any of it, but I liked Hellboy. We all liked Hellboy, and Mike Mignola is... Hopefully it's going to be good. So we're going to do BPRD coming up. Until then, you can find out on our website, which is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. And on there, you can find out all the upcoming shows. You can look up all the information for the individual issues, for all the stuff we're going to read. It's all on there. You can also ask us directly on Twitter.
Which is APSupercast.
Yes.
That's at APSupercast or twitter.com/APSupercast.
All right. No.com this time.
I know. I was so scared when I was going to say it again.
Or you can hit us up on email.
At atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
And as always, please subscribe to us on iTunes.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there. You guys both have good style. I gotta do something. So that's it. I'm excited for the BPRD stuff. It's gonna be really good.
Yeah, me too.
Because Annihilation is fun, but you know, when you read 3 books of something, you kind of start to get bogged down in the story. So now we're gonna start mixing it up. I'm really excited about this. So that's it for this week. Until then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.